All right, open your Bibles to Philemon. The topic we're going to look at today is winning ways. So find that, find Philemon. And I will find it in my notes here. Very good. Well, this is just a little book, and so you might expect that the message will not be too long. And that might be true. You know, we may not do as much as we've done in other meetings. But this wonderful passage, this is just a favorite little book of mine. And I would say to you that if you capture the message of Philemon, and if I can find it here in the dark, I'll read read it to you. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Oh, we have Bible drills at our place, so our children are pretty fast. But today, here we are. Well, let's just pray for a minute. I think I need it. So, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for truth that lifts us from a despair of just wandering on our own way. We're thankful, Lord, that you can open our eyes and help us to see wonderful things from your Word. So we thank you for that this morning, and we commit ourselves and to the young people to you as well. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philemon, let's read verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, my beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apha and Archippus and our fellow soldiers, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation or comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to commend you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul, the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable. To you and to me. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in the change for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you then count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me, even your own selves besides. You, brothers, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you would do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me that I trust that through your prayers I should be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So do Mark, and our Tarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, a wonderful little message. And if you caught the tone, you would say it is very diplomatic, wouldn't it? Just very, very thoughtful, very sweet. And Philemon, obviously, might have been a wealthy man. And he had a slave. And that's a terrible social problem at that time. But Christians dealt with people differently than those who didn't know the Lord. But I love that verse in verse 18. If he's wronged you, or if he owes you anything, put it on my account. And boy, if you can't think of something in relationship to that, to your Lord, that is a tremendous message about what the Lord has done. All of our sins, so dark so many, he took upon himself and paid the debt, and so we're full and free. Titus chapter 3, 3 and 5, it says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving varying lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What a sad description. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You know, life is hard. I would say kindness is needed in our world, wouldn't you? We need more kindness. And kindness means to have that good, generous, thoughtful, mindful spirit. Who am I kind to? Well, here's the point from Luke 6:35. It says of the Lord, he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Have you ever met people that were were evil and unkind and yet the Lord was kind to them? Said of the Most High God, R.C. Chapman lived back a long time ago, instrumental in starting an assembly in England. And he really did a commentary on love is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's from 1 Corinthians 3. Chapman had a wealthy relative visit him from Barnstable. And upon learning that this relative was coming, he asked him to go get some groceries. And he said, go to this particular grocery store and get what you'd like to get. So the man spent a great deal of money on groceries. And he told to the grocer, just a small store, it's not like Hy-Vee or whatever you have in Missouri, even though they do it, I guess. He said, now deliver these groceries to R.C. Chapman. Well, the man was dumbfounded because he had mocked Chapman on the street, mocked him. In fact, his last encounter, he spit on him. And yet, this man told his wealthy relative to bring the groceries, buy the groceries, and bring it, have them brought from that man. So when the grocer came, he had to face Chapman. Well, pretty painful to look at the man that you spit at and mocked him for the gospel. And he had to just bow his head and he said, tell me about the Lord. Tell me what it means to be saved, which he did. And he trusted Christ. And that's overcoming evil with good. Now, our son Brian was fortunate enough to go to the Air Force Academy. He's not a Rhodes Scholar, really. But he could play football really well. And when he was in the academy, he had a roommate, Bill Workman, who was He was in the prep school. And he needed an extra year just to get up to speed so he'd be ready for that academic program. But they were there, and Bill was like a weed that I tried to pull out here this morning. I was going to help the camp out and pull that weed, but, you know, because of the devil's curse or because of the Lord's curse, that thing was covered with thorns. So I let it go. I'm going to have to get a pair of pliers to get that weed out. But I can say this, that Bill was just a constant irritation. You had to make your bed so that it was just perfect. It could pop a quarter and it bounce up. He'd jump on Brian's bed. And then he'd lock the door on him. And he'd take his bag of stuff and dump it. Well, Bill was a skinny little guy. Brian was about 240. And he's frankly a beast that's controlled when he was at the academy. And so he'd worked with Mr. Bill and actually got him to come to our house and got him to read the Bible. And one Sunday morning at the Lord's Supper, just contemplating the person and work of Christ, he trusted Christ. And this guy that was so angry, his mom and dad were divorced. He had lots of reasons to be angry. He went off to Columbia University, an Ivy League school, studied the classic languages, and he's a scholar in both Greek and Latin, knows some Hebrew. And he's a tremendous Bible teacher, a thoughtful, gracious, good man. And I've told his wife, Jenny, when you look at your husband, think of the grace of God that changes the heart and puts a person in a new direction. He was like a lot of weeds out here that grow at camp. Lots of thorns on them, lots of irritation. And yet the Lord changed his life. The Lord did that. And now we say, can the Lord do that? And we worked with Bill. And a verse from Colossians just comes to me. Let your words always be with grace. Do you like that? Let them always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Believing not, as I looked at this young man, not who he was, but who he could become. And he's a tremendous young man. Well, a little background notes for this this problem. Slaves had no rights. And if they took something, if they ran away, they could be tortured or flogged, even killed. And so they were the property of the slave owner. And Philemon was wealthy. Well, Onesimus was a thieving, runaway slave. But he ran away to Rome. And what happened to him in Rome? Well, he met the Apostle Paul, and he heard the gospel. Yeah. And so there are a number of characters in this, and ultimately he came to know Christ, but here are the characters. Paul was a writer of the letter, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, he said. He was aged, so he was an old man. He was a spiritual father to both Philemon and Onesimus, certainly a beloved brother and a fellow worker. Timothy was a young man, a fellow worker. Paul had this to say about Timothy, and I think this is a great description for young men. He said, I have no one of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned about your welfare. Not a great thought about a young man. He's not just focused in on self. He's thinking about somebody else. They all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Philemon, probably a wealthy landowner, man of fine character, devoted Christian, a dearly beloved brother. A man characterized by faith in God and love for others. Apha was our sister, a wife of Philemon, given to hospitality. The church met in their home. A Christian woman who treated people above any material possession. As Christians, they were joint heirs of the grace of God. Archippus was a soldier, may have been a Christian friend to the son of Philemon, was given a special charge. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which God hath given to you. That's at the end of Colossians. He had a work to do. We all have a work to do. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Archippus, get to work. How many young people could hear that word today? Time to get to work. Epaphras, a fellow prisoner, heart of concern for believers, faithful servant of Christ, and he prayed for those in Colossae, Laodicea, Hierapolis. We read of that in, in Colossians. So they had a heart not only for the people at Colossae, but in a couple of other places. And perhaps he prayed for Onesimus, and undoubtedly Philemon. Onesimus' name means profitable. That interesting? Well, he was very unprofitable. He was causing his master loss. He was a thief. You know, God watched over him, and I think perhaps because somebody was praying, God saw him steal the money. God set him free. God watched over him in Rome. God, in due time, brought him face to face with Paul. And the gospel that changed Philemon and Paul changed him too. And he trusted Christ. And that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. You know, I just think, if you met people and you come into your life and you think, well, how will that person ever get to know the Lord? And you talk to them, they're rough stuff. But, you know, God can reach anyone and touch any life. If anyone will trust Christ, he'll become a new creature. One of the hidden delights of the Christian life is to see the Lord working in marvelous, miraculous ways, revealing himself in even converging circumstances and people. And you can't explain it as just a coincidence. The Lord is at work. You know, it's good to appreciate our fellow Christians. Has anybody thanked you recently for your work and your labor? I really appreciate the believers in Christ. Paul appreciated Philemon. He was gracious, tactful, courteous. He valued Philemon. And his appreciation perhaps just built him up. A little watering, Philemon. We all need a little watering. He valued Philemon's faith and work in the Lord and before all the saints. And he prayed that the sharing of his faith, the practical kindness which Philemon showed to others, may become effective. And what were some of those works that he did? Well, probably feeding the hungry, plenty of those, clothing the destitute, comforting the bereaved, relieving the distressed, forgiving a runaway stray. You know, our son has a little saying about how the Lord uses their efforts when he deals with the refugees. He said, you demonstrate, then you proclamate. You demonstrate your love and kindness to people, then you have a word for them. They know that you care about them, and the Lord uses that. You know, there's tremendous power in terms of just some application, tremendous power and influence in a life where the love and kindness of God is seen. The recollection of Philemon's positive godly life filled Paul with praise and thanksgiving. Questions. Other Christians find that about you and I? That they sense that we're there on their behalf. And it would be great if someone would say, you know, this brother refreshes my heart. He refreshes my heart. This sister refreshes my heart. Some of the verses on kindness. One of the things that Philemon was high on and Paul was high on was kindness. Here we have Ruth chapter 2. And if you read the book of Ruth, and it's a lovely thing after the book of Judges where everyone was doing what was right in their own eye, some of the things that were said about Ruth and Boaz. And Ruth 2, 11 through 13, I'll just give you a little sample here. Boaz answered and said to her, if it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before, the Lord repay your work. And a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, and I love her word, she said this, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. She recognized the kindness and the compassion that this man was having towards her. And later on, her mother-in-law said about it, she had this description, verse 20. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. At the end of their stories, they came back and they had nothing. They were poor, but they experienced the kindness of God through others. Isn't that good? And that can be true for us as well. And you know, there was my mother that used to say, you can kill him with kindness. And in a sense, we can kill the old man a little bit because they listen to us. Paul appealed for Onesimus on what basis? Well, he appealed to him. Listen, I forgot all those verses. Go back. Can you go back? Oh, thank you. Oh, you're a good wife, girl. You know, if you read Proverbs 19 and 22, it says one of the attributes of a man that the Lord is desired in a man. Well, I should read it, but what's desired in a man is his kindness. Isn't that interesting? What an interesting book of wisdom. What's desired in a man is kindness. And then we have, thank you, 2 Samuel 9:1. And here's David saying, is there anyone left of the household of Saul, or the household of Saul, that I can show kindness to? And here was Mephibosheth, lame on both feet, a son of Jonathan, his beloved friend. While he restored all the lands, he had him eat at his table every day. He showed kindness to him. And what he didn't have to do that, but he did it. What an example to us. In 1 Corinthians 13, we know that love is patient. What's the next one? Love is kind. Love is kind. That's how believers live life, spiritual love. Luke chapter 7, 36 through 50, we have the Lord in Simon's house. Do you remember that, the Pharisee? And he was there, and this woman came off the street. And this Pharisee said, well, if he were a prophet, he would know that this woman's a sinner. Well, what did this lady do? She washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She anointed his feet with ointment. She kissed his feet. And she did all of this publicly, just as an act of service and love to the Lord. And he said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he told Simon a little story about who would show more love, those who are forgiven a little bit, those forgiven a lot. But you think about that. Simon was guilty of the sin of omission. He gave no water for her feet. He gave no kiss of greeting. He gave no oil to anoint him. And we can also say he had no forgiveness. And he also, the Lord said to this woman as she walked away, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. He had no salvation. But that's an example of the omission of kindness, common courtesy to the Lord of glory. And Simon missed out. He certainly didn't recognize who he was. But those are some verses on kindness. Kindness is something to be demonstrated. Carol had a sign in our kitchen. Kind words are spoken here. Usually. Usually. All right, let's go on to Paul's appeal for Onesimus. He said this, hearing of your previous conduct as a Christian, hearing of your love and your faith in verse 5. And then he said this to Philemon. He appealed not on the basis of apostolic authority, but he said, for love's sake, I'm rather beseeching you. Paul was an old man. He was a prisoner of Christ. And Paul was intimately related to Onesimus. He said, I beseech thee for my son. Onesimus was a spiritual son. You know, anyone that I've led to the Lord, there's a bond. I tell you, there's a bond. I care about them. I want them to go on for Christ. Very concerned about their lives and where they're going. Onesimus was a converted man. His life had been transformed. And actually now, instead of being unprofitable, he was profitable. He was going to be profitable. To part with Onesimus would be a sacrifice for Paul. He would have liked to have retained him, but again, he was thoughtful. This whole little letter is just filled with courtesy and thoughtfulness, mindfulness. He wouldn't do that. This is true, by the way, of Emmaus students. I've been on the board for a long time at Emmaus, and I think I'm time to get off. But nevertheless, we've sent more kids from our assembly than perhaps any other assembly, certainly. They told me in the last 10 years we've had more kids come from Emmaus or go to Emmaus. But they could always get jobs over there. Why? Because they had a reputation of thoughtfulness, good work, responsibility, and they got jobs. So, you know, our reputation follows us, doesn't it? And if we're profitable, others could say, well, we have this youngster. Maybe we can trust this one. And so that's the way it worked. Reasonableness. You not only have him back as a slave, but as a beloved brother forever. Boy, the Lord just gives us dignity, doesn't he? Just takes us from where we are and lifts us up, sets us on a whole new plane. And MacDonald wrote this: this should be the comfort of the Christian who loses believing relatives and friends in death. The separation is just for a little while. The reunion will be forever. You'll have him back forever. The relationship with a Christian does not end in time. Thank God for that. You know, what we experience here will continue through all eternity. Paul's personal expectation, confident in the obedience that Philemon would do more than Paul expected. I always feel like that when I'm going through the line. I want the servers to do a little more for me. But you know, the Lord does so much more for us, surprises us with some of the good things that come our way. And so do we have a dilemma? We all have dilemmas. And it demands our highest spiritual response. And it means that we have to let go of the past sometimes. You know, Philemon had to not think of this guy as a thief and as somebody who had wronged him. He had a fresh new beginning. That's what the Lord does. Isn't that great? People can have a new beginning in Christ. And the way he treated him, Paul said it this way: he'll refresh the hearts of the saints. Isn't that a beautiful expression? To refresh the hearts of the saints. And you come down here, and you would hope that would be true here. You come to Bible camp, and I trust that your heart has been refreshed. Will the Lord be pleased with me? Will he be pleased with you? Are we in that business of helping people get on down the road with encouragement? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. Isn't that great? That's what the Lord does. And we've had so many places where people have showed us great kindness. When we were first married, we didn't have a lot of resources, but we had a car with no air conditioning. We had a tent that might keep chipmunks out, but not too much else. It would leak during the rain. And we were out in the Saskatchewan, and we were going to break bread with these Christians. We found it. We didn't have GPS, but we found this little chapel out in the middle of nowhere. And we dropped in there. They had an acreage and a gospel hall. And we were putting up the tent, and this man came by in his pickup truck. It's one of those farmer trucks. Had lots of dents and a little rust here and there. And he said, "What you all doing?" Said, "Well, we're just tenting up here, and we hope to break bread with these dear Christians tomorrow morning." He said, "You're a believer?" "Yes." And so we had a little talk, and his name is John. He said, "You're coming home with me." So we went back to his farm or his ranch, and oh, they fixed a great meal and gave us a shower, which we probably needed. And just we had sweet time of fellowship. And I could have said, but I didn't say, "You have refreshed my heart, brother. You have refreshed my heart." So good. Onesimus had wronged Philemon. He owed money. How would he make restitution? He was just a poor slave. Rome, the law of Rome, required compensation and payment. But I appreciate Paul's promise. Paul said this, if he's wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the Lord has done for you and me. He's taken all of our debt, taken it upon himself, and we love to sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And so I would say that Onesimus, before he left Rome, would have thanked Paul, wouldn't you? I don't know if he got to read the letter, but when he got back and the treatment he received from Philemon, he'd want to thank Paul again. And we can never get over thanking our Lord for what he's done on our behalf. So, summary, this man, Onesimus, was a thief. Yet he was converted. Don't call him a thief anymore. Call him a saint, a brother. He was now received as a, not shunned, but he was a beloved brother. A beloved brother by the very ones he had wronged. What was their attitude? How could you feel this whole business of showing grace and forgiveness is being seen in this story? And the God who teaches us to show kindness and grace to people and acceptance. He was given a second chance, not to be avoided, given a second chance. You know, I think we've all stumbled, haven't we? We don't even measure up to our own standards. But it's so good when the Lord works in our life and gets us back on the path, and we experience his grace that we can show kindness to others. Kindness and acceptance. Had a young man that came to our house that he was from California, been on the beach. His name is Dave Parrish. He's very mechanical. But to look at him, you'd want to run away. I mean, he had so many tattoos and all this hardware on him. And I haven't gotten a tattoo yet. I'm still thinking about what it might be. But, you know, I had David in my life, and I'd meet Christians that we'd take him to chapel with us, and I said, if you don't think he's saved, give him the gospel. And he'd love to hear the gospel anyway. But David, and he loved to speak it, but David went out to the West Coast and went to technical school, and he learned how to be an airplane mechanic. He was born with a wrench in his hand. He could just take things apart and put them back together. Aside the drugs and the alcohol. And he graduated the top in his class. Then he went off to Afghanistan, where he worked for Missionary Aviation Fellowship. It went under their umbrella. It was called ITEC. And he fixed airplanes. When the airplanes would stall out up in the mountains, he'd fly up there, build a tent over it, fix them, and get them back home, fly them back. And he's just a remarkable guy. And he had a wife, beautiful wife. Why she would marry him, I don't know. But she married David, a great, great man. And I just have the greatest affection for him. But we're so different in our backgrounds. But he's a man of God, a sincere heart who cares for people. And the Lord used him and his skills for his glory. And so, well, be careful of what you say. Your actions speak so loud. And it's such a wonderful thing that kind words are spoken here. And I can use words that can build up. And we all need grace, don't we? We all need new beginnings. And I'm so thankful when you come to know Christ as your Savior and you appreciate His grace and His love to you, that you can give that away, really give that away. And the Bible says even a cup of cold water given in His name, you won't lose your reward. A little thing, isn't it? And kind acts, kind deeds, part of a Christian's testimony. As we demonstrate, then we proclamate. And I would say that's the winning way. That's the winning way. And that breaks hardened hearts. I have a friend who is, maybe I told about this, deputy sheriff, who's hard to just get next to. He's like a cocklebur. He's got some rough edges. You know, he loves to talk to me because he asks Bible questions. And so I'm willing to be seen with him. I think he is genuinely saved, but his language doesn't always express it, nor does his behavior. But by God's grace, he's doing a work in his life. And I just encourage him. I said, Jamie, if you get closer to the Lord, He's going to change you and transform you. And the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart will be acceptable in His sight. I believe it. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story of this man Philemon and Paul and Onesimus. We thank you, Lord, for the power of salvation. Think of how Onesimus was changed. And he had to go back and face Philemon. We're thankful, Lord, this is a message about the kindness of Christians to others and the change in one's life. Now he's a beloved brother, and to be treated accordingly. We thank you, Lord, that you change hearts, change lives, change destinies. We're mindful as well, Lord, that the words we speak, we want them to build up and encourage. We want to refresh the hearts of the saints. We want our words and meditation to be acceptable in your sight. Help us to do that, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.